Hi, this is David Flowers, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational, convergent, third-way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast, and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a podritioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. Good morning, Grantham Church. It's good to be with you all this morning. A lot of our pastors were at General Assembly in Miami last weekend, first part of the week, which went really well. There were no major decisions made at this General Assembly, but it was a glorious time of food. Had some good Cuban food while I was down there, of worship and fellowship, and just seeing how God has been at work in our denomination. As I said in the email this past week, there will be a follow-up, an official follow-up coming from the denomination at some point, which I will share with you that will recap our time together. But so glad that you're with us this morning. This morning we're beginning a five-week sermon series on spiritual gifts called Charismata. What is charismata? Charismata is the plural form of the Greek word charisma, which literally means a gift of grace or favor freely given. The word charismata derived from the root word charis, meaning grace, and these terms represent unmerited favor, blessings, and supernatural abilities that are given to us by the Holy Spirit to benefit the Christian community and help us manifest God's presence and power on the earth. Therefore, this series, we're going to explore in it how the Holy Spirit equips the church with charismata. Examine the leadership gifts that Christ gives to build up his people. Learn about the various kinds of gifts that God gives to the church. Wrestle thoughtfully with what we might refer to as more of the charismatic gifts, and consider how God has uniquely gifted each of us to serve. And so whether you've known your gifts for years or you're just beginning to explore them, this series is an invitation to become the person that God has empowered you to be for the sake of his coming kingdom. And here's where we're going over the next several weeks. So this morning's message, Gifts of Grace, we're going to look at this is the basic question. What are spiritual gifts and why does God give them? In week two, equipping the saints, we're going to look at the fivefold ministry, as it's called, or the leadership gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. And then in week three, many gifts, one spirit, we're going to look at a number of gifts that the New Testament mentions. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a number of gifts that's mentioned and what their importance. What does it look like when we're utilizing those gifts in the church? Week four, the gifts that make us nervous. We're going to look at prophecy, healing, miracles, and speaking in tongues. We're going to look at those with a very balanced approach. And then lastly, week five, discover your gifts and use them. This will be an invitation to discover your gifts and to put them into practice. You know, in my 10 years here at Grantham, this is the first time we've done an entire series on spiritual gifts. And so I'm excited about what the Spirit is going to be speaking to us, but more importantly, how I believe God wants to use this series to grow each of us and empower our congregation for greater ministry, especially as we look forward to fall kickoff. If you're taking notes again, I've entitled this intro message, Gifts of Grace. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, we come to you with open hearts, with open minds, with open ears, and we ask, Lord, that you would speak to your people now. Lord, illuminate our minds and our understanding. Help us to understand who the Holy Spirit is and the gifts that the Spirit gives to the church. For the edification of the church, for the furthering of your gospel mission. So speak now, Lord, for your servants are listening. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.
If you would turn with me in your Bible to our main scripture reading this morning, and a key chapter in this series, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And as you're turning there, would you stand with me for the reading of the scriptures? First Corinthians 12, beginning verse 1. Paul writes, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans or unbelievers, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Where are all my baseball people? All right, okay. One of my favorite baseball movies is Moneyball. In the movie Moneyball, Billy Beane, played by Brad Pitt, assembles a winning baseball team not by collecting superstars, but by finding players whose unique strengths complement one another. Unlike the Dodgers, by the way. So, you think about this team Billy Beane assembles. One player gets on base consistently, another hits for power, another fields exceptionally well. Individually, they don't look very impressive, but together they become a championship caliber team. Early in Moneyball, Billy Beane sits with the scouts as they debate potential players. Some of you remember this scene if you've seen the movie. The scouts, they're around the table, some focus on appearance, personality, age, confidence in the player, other subjective traits. Somebody says, he's got an ugly girlfriend, so he can't be a very confident person. He doesn't look like a ball player. He's too old. He's too young. And then Billy has to remind them that they're not selling genes, because obviously they're evaluating players by the wrong criteria. He isn't looking for stars or celebrities. He's asking one question: can the player help this team win? Likewise, as the Apostle Paul reminds the believers here in Corinth, which we just read, the church isn't built by a few superstar Christians with extraordinary spiritual gifts. It's built by ordinary believers faithfully using the gifts that Christ has entrusted to them. Because God's strategy for growing His church has never been that a handful of gifted people would do everything. Instead, it's every believer using the gift they've received to ensure that the church is healthy and thriving as we carry out the work that God has called us to do together, especially here at Grantham Church. And remember, the story of spiritual gifts begins long before 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It begins with the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So let's recall what we know about the work of the Spirit in Genesis and onward. Now, the next two slides are going to be too small probably for some of you to read. That's okay. I understood that when I put that together. But you may want later on this week when the slides come with the sermon when it's posted to go back and look at these. I think the next two slides can be really helpful as you think back on the Scriptures and what they teach about the Holy Spirit. So in the opening of the Bible, we read that the Spirit of God was present in the act of creation. The Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, hovered over the waters, you'll recall. The Spirit was and is a life-giving personal force of God's creative power. And so unlike the force in, say, Star Wars, this force is personal. This is God Himself at work. And throughout the Old Testament, God's Spirit came upon select individuals, upon prophets, priests, judges, and kings to empower them for specific tasks. And if you know your Bible, some people should be coming to mind. But the prophets looked forward to a day when God would pour out His Spirit on all people, right? You remember that? Not just a select few who could easily lose the power of the Spirit as a result of sin and disobedience. Isaiah promised that God's Spirit would someday bring new creation and empower the Messiah. Ezekiel and Jeremiah both foretold that God would give His people a new heart and put His Spirit within them so they could faithfully follow Him. So in that respect, the Spirit is needed in order for us to follow the Lord faithfully. And the prophet Joel declared that one day God would, quote, pour out My Spirit on all people so that sons and daughters, young and old, would prophesy. That's in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And we see these prophecies and promises fulfilled in the New Testament. So Jesus announced that this promised day had arrived. He assured His disciples that the Father would send another advocate. That's the word He uses in John 14, verse 16. That the Holy Spirit, that is the third person of the triune God, would teach and remind them of His words when He was gone. That the Spirit would help them to testify about Him. The Spirit would convict the world of sin. The Spirit would empower the church for mission. And after His resurrection, Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the gift My Father promised. We read about that in Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, promising that they would soon be baptized with the Holy Spirit and receive power to be His witnesses. The word power there, we get the word dynamite from, that this is God's dynamite power through the Holy Spirit to the ends of the earth, Acts 1:8 says. And we know that promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all the believers there, empowering them to proclaim the mighty works of God in many languages. And Peter even explained that this was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy in Joel chapter 2. In the last days, I will pour out My Spirit on all people, when Peter proclaims this spontaneous message. From that moment on, the gift of the Holy Spirit became the defining mark of the new covenant people of God. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and born of Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, every believer is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and every believer is empowered with spiritual gifts to build up the church and participate in Christ's mission. And so think about that. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we confess Jesus as Lord, we invite Him into our life, we repent, we confess, we repent, we follow Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes into us, the Holy Spirit comes with a gift. At least one, as we'll see in this series. So let's be crystal clear about this. Without the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, we are powerless. Our theological streams within the Brethren in Christ, particularly Pietism and Wesleyanism, remind us of this truth. We need the Spirit, and we need the charismata. Amen? So what is a spiritual gift? If you're looking for a definition, let's just define it like this from Sam Storm's book, Understanding Spiritual Gifts. He says, a spiritual gift is when the Holy Spirit manifests His presence and imparts His power into and through individual believers to enable them to exceed the limitations of their finite humanity so that they might faithfully and effectively fulfill certain ministry tasks for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, a spiritual gift is the Holy Spirit energizing a believer to accomplish a ministry with effectiveness that cannot be adequately explained by natural talent, by education, by personality, or experience alone. That doesn't necessarily mean something miraculous occurs when you're utilizing your spiritual gift. Rather, the Spirit takes ordinary people and enables them to minister with extraordinary spiritual effectiveness. For example, think about it like this. Two people may teach the exact same lesson. One simply transfers information. The other sees lives consistently transformed because the Spirit is uniquely empowering that ministry. Two people may visit someone in the hospital. One offers kind words, another brings remarkable peace, comfort, and hope that people remember for years. Two people may lead. One merely organizes, gets the job done. Another inspires unity, vision, and spiritual growth in ways that clearly transcend organizational skill alone. Notice, the difference is not merely talent. It is the Spirit's empowering presence. Their ministry produces spiritual fruit that exceeds what would ordinarily be expected from natural ability alone. Again, the giving of charismata should be understood as an act of God's grace for the making of disciples, for the equipping of the saints for ministry in and outside the church, and for the empowerment of the church to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in the world. So these gifts are not for us, the individual. It is for the community, the body of Christ. Listen to what Paul writes in his letters to the believers in Rome and Corinth and Ephesus, as he emphasizes how each follower of Jesus has received the gifts of God's grace in order to bless others and further His kingdom. Listen to what he says. Romans 12, verse 6. He says, in His grace, in His charis, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 and 7. He says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. And then Ephesians 4, verse 7, which we'll see in a couple weeks, he says, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. So we each have at least one gift. We don't all have the same gifts. And don't miss this. Jesus is ultimately the giver of all the gifts. Why? Why? It's because Jesus has all of the charismata. Listen to me. Jesus has all of the gifts. What does this mean? Well, think about it. Think about it like this. Look at this image here. In Ephesians 4, verse 7, when Paul says that Jesus has given each one of us a special gift out of His own generosity, he's telling us two things. Number one, Jesus is the only person who possesses all of the gifts of the Spirit. Think about it. Jesus is apostle. Jesus is prophet. He's evangelist, He's pastor, teacher, servant, leader, full of mercy, full of faith, the gift of discernment, so forth and so on. Jesus has them all. And number two, we can gather from Ephesians 4, 7 here that the Lord disperses the gifts among and across the body of Christ so that we would recognize our need for each other. Do you see this picture? You get this picture. Jesus has all the gifts. He doesn't give one person all the gifts. He spreads them out so that we would depend upon each other. So we need each other. In other words, each of you are important. And all gifts are needed to be a healthy, balanced, and thriving congregation. We need each other in our different gifts to be the church. Even those gifts that may seem insignificant, and even those gifts among people who may seem a little strange to us, we need them all. That's what Paul goes on about in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 26. If you read the rest of the chapter, which we started to read there, which we will come back to later in this series, Paul says that every member of the body of Christ, so think about the body of Christ and every member, the fingers, the hands, the toes, the feet, all of it, all of the parts of the body of Christ and their spiritual giftedness matters. And so we cannot say that someone is not important, that their gifts, which are different than my gifts, or possibly even strange to me, or make me uncomfortable, or stretch me, that these gifts aren't needed. No, by no means. For when we do that, we deprive the body of nutrients. We deprive the body of health and of full functioning in its members. Friends, just look at, again, look at this image of Christ and think of his own body. Jesus says, we, his followers, make up his body on the earth. And we see this manifested in local congregations like our own. This is how the Lord designed it. We can't gather on Sunday morning with every Christian on the planet. We gather with Christians and we do community with Christians in a specific location where we're all sharing community together. And so we're each a part of this local congregation. We're a finger, a toe, an eye, an ear, whatever we are. Yeah, maybe someone's the rear end. No, seriously. Maybe it may seem that way, but they are a vital part of a healthy, fully functioning body of Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Some gifts are critical, but no gift cancels out another. All charismata are gifts of grace that God in his wisdom gives to the body to help the church be well-rounded, balanced, and producing fruit for the kingdom of God. So let's sum up what we've been saying like this with three takeaways. Number one, in grace, Jesus has gifted every believer. You say, me? Yes, you. All of us. And it doesn't matter if you're 8 or you're 80. You have a gift, at least one. And the Lord wants you to use it in the church. And I know that in different periods of your life, as you're going to see through this series, the Lord may give you another gift. You may not be able to use the gifts that you once used. But God will give you another gift. Ways of continuing to serve the body of Christ. As long as you have breath, as long as you are able to share community with us, you have a purpose. You have meaning. Spiritual gifts are not earned. This is what we're saying. They're not achieved, and they're not reserved for a select few. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ has graciously given every believer at least one gift to participate in his work. The big idea here is if you belong to Jesus, you have been gifted by Jesus. Takeaway number two. Every gift matters because every person matters. Church, the Church of Jesus Christ is not built on the talents of a few, but on the faithful participation of the whole body. No gift is insignificant. Now, some of us, we know what this is like as we get older, and our body parts aren't working the way we want them to, right? I'm sensing it. I played a wiffle ball game on July 4th. I've still not recovered from that. I'm serious. It's, you know? And so think about that spiritually. When the body of Christ is hurt or wounded or parts of it aren't functioning, it affects the whole. It affects the whole. So we first need to begin by realizing we all have a part to play. We are all important. We're all vital. No gift is insignificant. And no follower of Jesus is unnecessary. God intentionally gives different gifts so that we depend on one another and grow together. At an opportunity at General Assembly in Miami, it was kind of last minute. One of our pastors was unfortunately in a car accident, and she's okay, but couldn't make General Assembly. So I'd fill in last minute to share a God at work story and what God has been doing in my own life and what God's been doing here at Grantham Church. And we showed two videos, and the second video was one I'm going to show you here pretty soon. It's the collaboration between Grantham Church and Messiah Village Church when it comes to the choir. It's such a heartwarming video, so stay tuned for that. But you just think about that, because when I see that, I think, like, if you're breathing, don't check out. You still have work to do. You're important to the body of Christ. And you can still use your voice, even as you get older. So church, lock on to that in this first message. Everybody's important, and every gift is important. Everybody has one. So God intentionally gives different gifts so that we depend on one another and that we can grow together. Amen. Their big idea here is there is no insignificant gifts because there are no insignificant members of the body of Christ. Yeah, you might get to retire from your job, but you're never retired from the body of Christ and being present with other disciples. Amen. Amen. Lastly, takeaway number three. Spiritual gifts are given to serve and to bless others. Oh, it's unfortunate that we've sometimes seen people in the church, especially with leadership gifts. It's often with that we see it, we notice it in the news, of people using their gifts for themselves. But our gifts are given not for ourselves, not for our ego, not for our brand, not to build a platform. They are to bless the body of Christ. God doesn't give gifts primarily for personal fulfillment or recognition, or that we would get our identity from those gifts. What happens when those gifts are gone or we can't use them or function in them anymore? Right? God has to give us a different gift. Rather, He wants us to build our identity on Him. So our gifts are not for ourselves or to build ourselves up. It's to build the church up, to advance God's gospel mission. And we are blessed so that we can become a blessing. Listen to what 1 Peter 4:10 says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Think about it. That's what Peter wants us to get, that image. Your gift, my gift, are expressions of God's grace in its various forms to build up the body of Christ, so that we would all grow up into Jesus, become healthy and whole human beings, and to be about the work of Jesus in the world. Amen. The big idea here is your spiritual gift isn't just for you, it's for others. It's for others. Finally, here are some questions to help us to reflect and to respond together. Number one, ask yourself, do I truly believe that Jesus has uniquely gifted me, or have I assumed that gifts are for more spiritual Christians? I'll leave some space here for the Spirit to speak to you. Do you believe that Jesus gifted you? Or have you made the mistake of thinking it's just for more spiritual Christians? Number two, am I using my God-given gifts to build up the body of Christ, or are those gifts sitting on the sidelines or sitting on the shelf? Are you using those gifts? Or maybe you need question number three here. How is Jesus inviting you to discover your gifts? Maybe that's where you're at. You need to discover them. I'm sure I'll say this again and address this later on in the series, but this really isn't something that you can fully learn about by taking a test. As we'll see in this series, these gifts of the Spirit are discovered in the community, in relationship, in working it out with the body of Christ. So it may mean, right, Seth? Trying new things. Exploring what God may have for you and how He has gifted you. And then one day, eureka. You found it. You found the place in which you are operating that's not just life-giving to you, but blesses others in a supernatural way. Will you come on this journey with me of discovering, of developing, and faithfully using the gifts that God has graciously given us? Let's do this work together. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell within us and gift us your body, not just to build us up as a local congregation, but to bless our neighbors and to bless the world around us. So Holy Spirit, would you now lead us through this series, guide us to the gems along the way you want us to find and discover, and to the truth that would set us free. Help us, Lord, in this series to discover who we truly are in you and the ways in which you've blessed Grantham Church with charismata. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said, amen.